Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Natco Pharma Q3 FY24 post-result earnings conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hrishikesh Patole from B&K Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of B&K Securities, I welcome all to the FY24 earnings conference call of Natco Pharma.
Hrishikesh, can I start? Hello? Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Hrishikesh. Again, welcome everyone to Natco's conference call discussing our results for the third quarter of FY24, which ended December 31st, 2023. Our discussion during this call will include certain forward-looking statements, which are predictions, projections, or other estimates about future events. While these forward-looking statements exemplify our judgment and future expectations, please note that these estimates involve several risks and uncertainties that could cause our actual results to differ materially from what is expressed or implied. Natco Pharma undertakes no obligations to publicly revise any forward-looking statements to reflect in future events or circumstances. I'd like to state that except for the participant questions, property of Natco cannot be recorded or rebroadcast without Natco's express written permission. We'll begin with the results highlight, and then we'll follow with an interactive Q&A session. So we hope all of you received the financials and the press release that we had done earlier, including a presentation. These are also available on our website. So first of all, we are very excited to state that Natco has achieved a big milestone in its evolution by surpassing 3,000 crores of revenue and 1,000 crores of PAT year to date, and we have one more quarter to go. So I think we are quite pleased with the results. For the third quarter of FY24, Natco recorded consolidated total revenue of 795.6 crores as against 513.3 crores same period last year, reflecting a growth of 55%. Net profit for the period on a consolidated basis was 212.7 crores as against 62.3 crores during the same period last year, showing roughly about 3.5 times growth. The company has shown strong growth across businesses compared to last year and is confident of its strategy going forward. Very briefly on the segmental split for the quarter for Q3, API clocked 46.3 crores, formulation domestics 99.4 crores, formulation exports, which includes profit share and foreign subs, was 605.6 crores, crop health clocked 14.1 crores. The rest were in non-operating income. Thank you all. We'll open up for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abdul Kader from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. So my first question is with regards to your guidance for FY24, where earlier you'd stated or we were expecting profits of close to 2,000 to 1,200 crores. So, sir, I mean, since you already achieved that in 9 months, are we revising it or holding to the guidance?
Sure. As of now, I mean, we're looking good. So my expectation now is that, we have to see how things work out. But looks like we're going to be on the higher end of the expectation. We're hoping to go past 1,200 crores back. I think that's our expectation. And our sales as well, I think will probably be little less than 4,000 crores. I think that's our expectation, where things are.
Okay. And so just to have a better understanding of your Q3 numbers, so, on the face of it, it more looks like the export business has driven the quarter. But within that, how have your subset Brazil and Canada performed, as well as in the US, if you could throw some light there? Thank you.
Certainly. I mean, the subs have done well, Abdul. And I think specifically, all the subs together out of the sale, I think 163 crores has come from all the subs and primarily driven by Canada and Brazil. And this quarter we had a one-time tender order that we executed in one of the markets. So I think that was one of the reasons why the sub has done well. And so that also has improved the emerging market profits. Overall, it's a very balanced quarter. I think we got profit from all the major markets. And also, Glatiramer also did well this quarter. And overall, I think even though Lenalidomide contribution was on the lower side, still we had, a pretty good quarter. I think we're very pleased how things went.
Understood. And
you have a chance to another person, Abdul. We come back.
Sure.
Next question, please. Yeah.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Purvi from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, please go ahead.
So firstly, congratulations on a strong set of numbers. So I have two questions. First is on the Kotur facility. If you could just give us an update as to where do we stand with the FDA. And secondly, on the tax rate, if for the past 3 quarters we've seen that to be in the range of 16% to 17%, how should we expect this for the full year of 24, 25, and 26?
Sure. Okay. I'll start with the tax rate. The tax rate, I think, will be around that same range. I think our expectations that we'll able our taxation will be around 16-17%.
Okay.
I think that's my expectation. Will continue even going forward. Regarding Kotur, we have not, we have replied to the FDA about the corrective action that we have taken post-inspection. And we have not received a classification as of now. So as of now, we're still waiting for a classification. And we believe that we have done all the remedial measures based on the observations. And we're still awaiting the classification. And that's about it. And I think, as I said in the past, and I'll just reiterate it again, we have always implemented our risk mitigation strategy on our top products. And I think we are there. Yeah. Thank you. Next.
Okay.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Ashish from JM Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm
yes, Ashish. Yeah, go ahead, Ashish.
Yeah, sir. Yeah, sir. Two questions. So first on Agchem business and our long-term vision to also set up the business in the international markets. And secondly, on the M&A. So earlier we were wanting to add M&As to our portfolio with revenues of somewhere between 1,000-1,200 crores. So update on that. Thanks.
So I'll start with the Agchem. Agchem, I think usually December is a slower season, so I think the sales have been on the lower side. Overall, I think so far for the year, Rajesh, can you give us an update on how much you've done so far for the last 9 months?
Yeah. So just to add to that, Ashish, so year to date we have done roughly around 110 crores, right? So as Rajiv was just mentioning, the sector itself has been facing quite a bit of headwinds during this year, starting from, you know, the broadly the weather pattern and the El Nino effect has caused quite a bit of disruption in some of the key crops, right? I mean, if you look at our key products of CTPR and related to CTPR, you know, there's been failure in the soybean crop, cotton crop has failed, poor rain, so the south rabi has also been impacted. And so we've seen multiple issues, and Q3 is generally expected to be on the lower, you know, turn anyhow, seasonality-wise. I think broadly that's where we are.
And I think on the guidance, I think we thought we're in the range of 150 to 200 crores. Looks like we're going to be on the lower side, not on the higher side, because of the slightly lower offtake in the agro division this year.
Yeah.
But overall, I think we're fairly excited about how things are. And our foray into international markets, we have started registration of our key products in the major markets in US, Australia, and Middle East. So I think things are moving well, and Brazil as well. So I think the impact of that will probably see in a couple of years.
Correct.
And regarding the acquisitions, I mean, we're looking at a big one. I mean, that's what I think, instead of doing a smaller one, I think we're looking for a big, large one. I think we're scouting and we're looking around. And I think, as I stated, I think we're looking in the emerging markets. So we're looking hard. And I think, I don't have an answer whether we have a deal on hand right now, but we're working hard. But the company has become stronger now, I think. On December 31st, our cash position and investments are at 1,929 crores, and our borrowing is about 129 crores, including foreign bill discounting. So, I mean, net cash we're at 1,800. So we've gone up a little more from last quarter, and so I think we're in good shape. I mean, that way, I mean, to execute a transaction. To answer your question, do we have a transaction we're going to close? I think we're looking hard. I think that's all I can say at this time. But we hopefully we'll be able to consume something in the next 12 months. I think that's our expectation. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thank
next,
you.
Next caller, please. Yeah.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Anuj Momaya from Ideal Investments. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on good set of number, Ali. So my first question is on the US market, X of Revlimid, how are we doing in those products, or can you give some light?
We're doing well. X of Revlimid, Copaxone is one of our biggest products. So we have very good market share on it. We are the number one generic on that. And the other products, Everolimus does well, Lanthanum does well, Lapatinum does well. So, I mean, all the portfolio is doing reasonably well. I think overall we're happy with our business, and all our key products, we supply from both the sites, both from our Vizag and our Hyderabad site. So it's fairly stable, things are well. In terms of US business, going forward as well, I think our strategy continues to be to get, those key critical complex products. We have delivered good complex filings. I mean, you're familiar with our semaglutide filing, and some of them we have sole FTF on some strengths and some of the product. And idea is that we'll deliver, delivered olaparib. We've spoken about that. These are some of the big filings we have in the near future. And going forward, we have a stated goal. I think this next 12 months we'll deliver at least two or three products which are as interesting as the ones I just mentioned. So I think we're working on them. Hopefully in the next 12 months we're able to announce something positive by achieving a filing. I think the strategy is still, I've said this before many times, I'll reiterate again. I think the way US is going to work is you got to do the complex generics. I think that's where the real money is, or the FTFs. Otherwise, the regular products, it's harder to make money. Yeah,
and my second question is on this domestic formulation. So we have been flattish around 100 crores of quarterly 100. So is the oncology piece of business flat, or the non-oncology? Can you throw some light? How are we doing on the domestic front? Because that has been lagging for quite some time now.
Good question. I mean, yes, we are lagging. I think there's no running away from that. I think we have a reasonable pipeline. I think we have some couple of very interesting products that we're working on. We believe that that will drive the growth. But the launches are not in the near term. I think that's a challenge. Overall, the business has been stable. I think oncology volume-wise is growing. I think we're doing all right. Again, I just said, you know, I think one big challenge we have in this business is what do we acquire to increase our portfolio? Because we're only strong in the niche segments. We're not strong in the more volume, large coverage, general GP segments. I think we looked at different acquisitions, and I think I always found them to be very expensive and not, you know, the return on capital expectation that I have is not, honestly, it's not meeting. And whatever deals that I've seen, you know, are slightly better than the lending rates of a bank. So that's why I'm unable to close a transaction. I'll be very honest with you. So that's why we are stuck. But I think we have a reasonable pipeline. I think my expectation is that that business will grow. I think our expectations are it will grow around 8 to 10%. But the strength that we're seeing in our export business, we're not seeing it in the domestic business. I think clearly, yes.
But the growth will be coming from oncology or the non-oncology business?
Oncology is driving the growth. I think most of the portfolio is still, I think 60-65% of the portfolio is still oncology. Yeah. Okay?
No, thanks.
So thank you. Next question, please. Yeah.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Saumil Shah from Paras Investments. Please go ahead.
So congratulations on a good set of numbers. So in the previous call, you mentioned that most of our Revlimid quota was done for this year. And next quarter, there won't be much quantity left. But still, the performance for this quarter in terms of sales was very good. So does that mean that our other products did really well in this quarter?
I think the other products did better. I think we got some tail on the lenalidomide, but actually significant part of the profit came from non-lenalidomide for this quarter. I think that's a position. That's correct.
Okay. As mentioned earlier, the emerging markets have done fairly well earlier.
And also we had some big few hits in a one-time tender and all. They're all non-US relevant driven business.
Okay. And that performance can continue further for the next quarters, non-revenue?
These are one-time, no? So I think they're done. So I think again next year is a new year again. You know, you bid for new business and you see how things go. Okay. But overall, the emerging market piece and the the other products have done fairly stable. And we obviously have, you know, lenalidomide will come, I think starting from March, we'll get a new allocation. So I think we're expecting that things will be better starting from March.
Okay. And so if my understanding is correct, that from March 24 to Feb 25, that would be a third year for Revlimid, correct? And the contribution to overall sales from this product will increase compared to the previous year. So can you please guide on the EBITDA margin? Will it be similar to the previous year, or if the sales increases, will the margin will also increase?
Good question. I don't have an answer. So we'll just see how the market forms. I think we'll have more color, I think, once some quantity goes into the market. We're optimistic that we'll do well. Again, the extent of the erosion and all is very hard to judge. And I think we have to speak to our partner Teva and get more clarity. But I think once we get more clarity, hopefully in May when we have our March quarter numbers and the annual for the financial year March 24, maybe I might be better placed to answer that question. And this time it's too premature.
Okay. And so any guidance for the next financial year for revenue?
No, not today. I'll guide for March 24. 25, I'll, you know, I think maybe in the next call I'll have more clarity. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Next caller, please.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital.
Hi, thanks. Rajeev, on the US market, are there any over 25, 26, do you see any of those P4 launches coming through for you?
I can't speak about dates, Nitin, because they're all bound by confidentiality. I think I'll give you a general picture of what P4 you can expect in the next few years. Bosantan 32, Carfil 10 milligram, we have sole FTFs. So those are probably coming in the next few years. And then we have Olaparib, and then we have Semaglutide. So I think those are the big P4s. And then we have Trabectedin as well. and pomalidomide. So these are all there in our investor presentation. But these are the ones that will play out in the next few years.
Okay. And in terms of the new filing that you talked about, potentially that can come through over the next 12 months, I mean, these would be what? A potential impact from a monetization perspective, these would be FY post FY30 events?
Depends on the patent litigation law, so it's very hard to judge. No, Nitin, it's a bit tough. I think what we're trying to tell our investors and a lot of our interactions is that, you know, we continue to pursue the complex pipeline. And our idea is that, you know, you need to focus on these complex products. And you got to do, you know, peptide products, oligopeptides, difficult delivery systems, harder to do generics. And that's where the real value is. I think we have a stated goal, I think, internally in the R&D that we have to deliver. We're targeting, let's say, about 3 or 4, and if you succeed even at 1 or 2, then it adds, you know, a really disruptive launch in the next few years. So I think the idea is that, you know, we have, let's say, you know, 3 or 4 good complex generics coming up in the next 5-6 years, and then maybe make it like 6 or 7, then there'll be more consistency in our, you know, delivery, you know, rather than the lumpiness that you're seeing in our earnings. So I think we should be able to generate, I mean, we don't need many of these very good products. I mean, if you deliver 6, I think you're set for the whole decade, you know. So I think that's the idea. I think we're trying to bring more pipeline with the R&D spend that we have so that we can bring more consistency in our complex pipeline.
And secondly, on the ROW subsidiaries which are there, what kind of outlook do you have on this sort of piece over the next couple of years?
I think Brazil and Canada are our best subs in the ROW. I think both are doing extremely well. And so we're very happy how things are progressing. And each of these subs are filing 7 to 8 products. I think that's a stated goal that we have. So they continue to be strong. And we are looking at more markets. You know, we're open, we're starting a subsidiary in Colombia and Indonesia. And also we're looking for a good acquisition in the ROW business. And so I think our sense is that, you know, we have to grow this business, and whatever pipeline that we're building for, in, you know, let's say Canada and Brazil, extend it to as many countries as possible. And I think that's where the value of the business is. And I think that's how it's going to be. I think you got to have a reasonable pipeline. The only way you're going to make money in this business, one, you have complex generics, difficult to do products. Two, you have global reach. And you have a steady branded generic business. I think these are the three ways you can make money. And I think out of these three, you need to get at least one, at least two things right. And I think that's what will get you home. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Nitin. Thanks. Next call, please.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Viraj from MoneyGrow India. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rajiv, Rajesh. Thank you. Seems like you've had a great quarter and the worst is behind for NATCO. Been tracking this business for a long time. Just a question on Imbruvica and Pomalyst. Can you speak a little bit about those two, please? Because I think those are some of the bigger market opportunities out there for you.
Certainly. I mean, Pomalyst, we have launched in a couple of markets. I think we launched it so far in among. Obviously, we have a reasonably nice generic in India. I think we're the number one generic of pomalidomide in India. We have launched it in Canada and Australia so far. So those are two markets that have opened up. So that is doing well. Now, US, we have already have a launch date. So, but it's a shared FTF. So I don't know how big this product is going to be in the US and for pomalidomide.
When you say shared, is it with one power player or multiple players?
I think they're multiple players. I think, I don't remember the exact number, but I think it's a shared FTF. It feels like 4 or 5, but I don't want to say something I'm not, where I'm not, but just get the feeling it's many, but how many I don't recollect exactly. And what was the other question you said, other than Imbruvica? I mean, you know, we have lost the appeal, so we're just looking at what we can do. And so we just, we're making our evaluations on how we can deal with the legal situation. So at this time it's, I can't comment, but we'll come back with, you know, what we probably need to do.
Excellent. Thank you. All the best.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Raj.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Bharat from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, are we quantifying the one-time tender opportunity which we have got for this quarter?
I generally don't do a split for comparative reasons, but we just generally give a general view. But we just, I don't discuss the quantification or speak EBITDA wise split. I don't do it.
And sir, any outlook on the US market, how it is happening? Because from the PA commentary, we are understanding that there has been some volume growth, pricing has started getting better. So how do you, how are you looking at this market at this moment?
I mean, business has been stable. I'll be honest with you. I think business has been fairly stable. I think all the products that we had stable revenue and stable pricing. There's no doubt in that. But having said that, again, I'll reiterate what I said a few minutes ago, is that the real money in the US is not coming from, you know, selling large volume or mass volume. I think you get real value when you do complex generics. And that's where the real money in the business is. And I think that's my sense. Yeah.
Sure, sir. I will get back in the queue. Thank you.
Okay. Next call, please.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Rohit from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, congrats on good numbers. My question was on the NC that we had in NRC 2694. If you could just talk a bit about that, I think it, we were under phase two trials. So if you can share anything, and also overall the overall strategy around NC. For us as a company, if you can share over the next 4 or 5 years if there is anything that can happen there.
I think NRC 2694, I think we got permission to do phase two in the US. So we have a couple of sites in the US, and then we're doing some work in India also. We got DCGI clearance to do phase two, and it is for a niche indication. I think it's premature at this time. I think you know, I think it's premature to talk about it. But I think once you make good progress, then you know, we can speak about it. But at this time, I would like to say that it's at an early stage. So, but we're doing phase two, and in addition to this, I think we have another two products that we are looking to do IND. But at this time, it's premature. I think maybe in the next quarter, I'll give you more updates.
The line for the current participant has been disconnected. The next question is from Hussain from Ambit Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for taking my question. So I had two questions. The first one was with regards to our $2 million investment in Celogene around CAR T therapy program. And if I recall, in the last con call also, you alluded to some investments in this area which would make sense for NATCO. So would it be fair to say that, you know, these types of investments would be the way ahead for us in Indian market compared to, say, typical outright brand purchase? And could you talk more about this?
Sure. Okay. Outright brand purchase, I'm not a big fan. I mean, I know I'm contrary to everyone what the street believes and all you guys love, but I think the return on capital is very low, and I think the growth of these brands are not so large that justify the valuations. But having said that, what we're doing with Celogen is essentially they have a very promising molecule in CAR T therapy. And you probably know, I mean, this is the new technology that has come in treatment of cancer. And this is very exciting technology. And I think we realize that we don't have the, what do you call, the know-how in our system to do these projects. And but I also believe that this is going to revolutionize cancer therapy. So I think so we felt that it's bit to be at least part of a startup which is you know, working on this. And we have started with a $2 million commitment, but I know it's, if things go well, I think we can always you know, bump up our investment in these sort of assets. But certainly, I think this is going to be you know, gene therapy and CAR T are going to be big things in pharma, and I think a lot of the, you know, what do you call it, innovation is happening in this space, and I think you need to be, you know, be in this space, clearly. And if you don't have the know-how internally, then you probably need to capture it through an investment, and then maybe you get a feel of how things are going, and then maybe, you know, if you're comfortable how things are, then maybe you can, you know, can do a larger investment and take it forward. Okay.
Understood. And sir, my last question is with regards to semaglutide, and pardon my lack of understanding here, but just wanted to get a sense of like what could be the timeline with regards to the development and then the filing, and then will it be like, it's just an assumption, if you could just help us understand it. Is it a 3-year or 5-year time frame that you're looking at?
The litigation is ongoing. I mean, I think the compound patent is in like early... after 2030, I think. I don't remember exactly again. I don't want to say something that I'm just working with top of my head. I don't have any actual patent expiry numbers with me. But I think, Mylan is handling the litigation. We have challenged different patents. It depends on the outcome of the patent litigation. And also it's a complex generic, so I think the review time and all will be longer than your normal product. So, and we're answering all the queries, so... I at this time I can't answer any timelines and any guidance on launch date or on the litigation. But I think we're just sharing, you know, what's in our pipeline, and then we have an exciting product, and some strengths we have FTF. So I think it's a great opportunity if we're able to pull it off as and when it happens. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Omkar Kamatekar from Bonanza Portfolio. Please go ahead. Hello, Omkar sir. Hello, Omkar sir. The line for the current participant.
Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, please go ahead. So my first question is with respect to CapEx. Approximately what is the amount of CapEx that we have incurred in the current year, and what will be the steady state CapEx which we are going to incur in the next couple of years, because we've added approximately 50% CapEx in the last 4 years, from 2,100 crores in FY19 to now, as of FY23, 57% CapEx has been, the gross block has increased. So is most of the CapEx done, or will still there be another round of CapEx?
It's always maintenance CapEx. I mean, just you have to replace things, and you're always buying some new instruments and just upgrading your plants. So far this year, we have spent for 9 months 282 crores in CapEx.
Okay.
So I think that's fair. It's not been large like in the earlier years, because earlier years we did a lot of CapEx. I mean, we built a lot of new facilities. We built a fresh facility in Vizag. We built the agrochemical facility, and we did significant expansion in our existing facilities. Right now, I think we're okay. I think we're comfortable. I don't see any large CapExes. I think. I mean, that's why you see the cash is increasing in the books, because we're not spending so much on cash.
Correct. So my question was with respect to, so the point was, because of this increased capex, our fixed asset turnover, gross block to turnover had gone down, and we'll be close to one by the end of this year, FY24, close to 4,000 crores of turnover, so we'll be slightly above one. Historically, before the round of capex, we were above 1.3, 1.4. So would those be the levels that we'll be reaching? So what will be the maturity time for the for these capacities to reach optimal levels? So we might see 1.4, 1.5 times the gross block turnovers.
I mean, I think we are running optimally. I think because a lot of our investments are doing with things that we're trying to launch 7-8 years ahead of time. I mean, we look at our business, I mean, we're working on stuff which is like going to happen 7-8. I mean, for example, we're working on oligopeptides. I'm giving an example. We did a significant capex for the oligopeptide block, and hopefully we'll get a filing through in the next 12 months. So what will be the payoff on an oligopeptide? Maybe 5 or 7-8 years away. So it's a treadmill. I mean, you can't think of it like that I've done something and I have to see return tomorrow. Pharmaceuticals is like, everything that you do, you have to wait 7, 8 years, 9 years for things to happen. So it's a cycle, you know. What you make today, and then you invest, and then you go for the next cycle. So I think that's how, I don't know if I've answered your to your satisfaction, but I think that's how you want to think about it.
Yes, yes, understood. I got okay. the gist of it. And finally, with respect to the free cash flow, what was the free cash flow generation for the period, for the 9 months or 6 months, whatever, if you could share, free cash flow?
Free cash flow, I mean, I think we already said, no, our PAT is about 1,000. So if you want to say, you want an EBITDA or you want an, how do you want the number? If I
free cash flow, so that would be operating cash flows minus the CAPEX for the year. So if it is available or...
I already told you what the CAPEX was.
So we're about, from an EBITDA perspective, YTD is about 1340 and CAPEX is 282.
And maybe I'll back calculate or I could
take it out. Actually, the numbers are in public domain. You can work it out. 282 is the CAPEX. And then what was the EBITDA, Rajesh?
1340.
Then you do the taxation and then dividend, I think we paid this year, I think almost 9.5 rupees. So I think, is it 9.5? I think about 9.5 so far, I think. Yeah. 9 to 9.5. I don't recall. Around there. So okay. That's broadly those numbers. About 15% dividend we have paid. Okay. Thank you. Next caller, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Shyam from Ladder Up Finance Limited. Please go ahead.
Oh, hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is with respect to the revenue from the US. So the revenue is in line with what we are doing in previous quarters and year on year, or it has grown or declined? And the revenue from Revlimids, the tailwind that we have received from it.
I could you rephrase that question? I didn't understand what your question is. Can you rephrase that and say it again, please? I didn't understand what you said.
Sure, sir. So I just want to know that how was our revenue in terms of US, in terms of US. So it was in line with previous quarters, and or it has declined or grown.
I think. If your question is on a year-on-year basis, you know, we have done better than what we did last year in the U.S. And it is driven by, obviously, you know, Revlimid and other products that we have. If the question is, are we better than last year? Yes, absolutely correct. If you compare our 9 months for last year, you know, and 9 months this year, I think we've definitely done much better than what we did. I think our last year profitability for the whole year was 715 crores. This year we have done 1,000 gross profit for 9 months. So we are definitely doing much better. Does that answer your question?
This was actually
lumpiness that happens because of, you know, how the sale is done for different products.
Correct.
So it's very difficult to, if you say, compare it with last quarter, this quarter, then it becomes very difficult to compare. You got to take a multiple quarter view on a year-on-year basis, then you can see a better trend. I think the trend on a Q-on-Q basis is difficult for our type of company.
Okay. And sir, any development in our FTFs coming forward? Any specific molecules?
The goal is, we have about 3 or 4 smart FTFs. We want to take it to 6 or 7 in the next 2 years. I'm hoping, again, it all subject to how our execution and how everything works, that we'll be able to pull off another 3 or 4 very smart FTFs, which can give you more consistency in our earnings.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Next caller, please.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Sayan Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just a small clarification here. I mean, for semaglutide, is it a partnered product or you have your own filing and you will sort of have the 100% of the economics here?
No, we won't have the 100% of the economics. It is partnered and it is with Mylan.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Purvi from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So my question is in regards to the Red Sea crisis. So we've been hearing that the freight costs have escalated a lot. So are we experiencing any issues or can this be a worry over the next 1 or 2 quarters? That's one. And the other one was on the raw material front, that if you could just give us a number as to how much is our dependence on China for the raw material. And as we know that there's a deflation situation that's going on there. So how do we see this also having an impact on the raw material prices over the next two or three quarters? Thank you.
I think overall, I think the freight rates have gone up, Purvi. I think from what I understood in our conversation with my supply chain head, I think there's been a 50 to 60% increase in the freight rates, and even the airline freights have also gone up dramatically. So there's a lot of disruption that's happening in the supply chain. Having said that, I think we don't see any supply challenges. Things have been fairly stable. I think at least our key products, I think we're able to manage reasonably well. But to answer your question, yes, there's been a significant disruption in the supply chain because of the Red Sea issue. And regarding China and all, we see a lot of stability in the raw material pricing as of now from China. I think from what I understand, I think things have been fairly stable. Now we have to see what will happen because of what's happening. But as of now, I think things have been fairly stable.
So just an ancillary to this, as to how much is the inventory for the raw material that we usually carry?
Right now, my closing inventory for consol is 600 and... Just give me a second, no? Let me reach for that paper and come back to you.
No worries. Yeah.
675 crores is the total inventory of the company as of today. As of this 31st March 2023. Yeah.
So just wanted to allude to Red Sea crisis situation. What is the kind of impact that you can see on the margins that can come in?
What do you see in the margins? There is some increase in raw material prices and there's some delays in delivery and there's overall general freight cost increase. So your logistics cost, other expenses have gone up dramatically.
Okay.
But our portfolio relatively is less affected because our portfolio is a very high value portfolio and a lot of the stuff we send by air and it's all small volume. So the impact that you'll probably see on our balance sheet will be not as significant maybe compared to a company whose portfolio is more high volume and low value. I think the impact will be much more. But having said that, I mean, our impact, there is an impact, of course. You can't run away from it. But relatively, the impact is less on a firm like ours. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you on all of us.
Thank you, Sam. Next call, please. Yeah.
We will like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Rajiv, on Agrochem now, how are you thinking about contribution of this piece over the next 2-3 years to the overall business?
I have some very exciting launches, a lot of first-time generics lined up in the next 12 months, subject to how litigation is going to be. I think it's a very good business. I believe that, you know, it's right now, this year we may end around 150 to 160, depending on how things go. Little lower than we thought, but I think we still did very well for someone who's completely new in that business. This business has the potential to go to 300 to 400 crores brand, and there's a lot of brand loyalty from farmers once you deliver a very high quality product. We're doing a lot of, you know, ad campaigns, I don't know if you've seen some of our regional channels. I mean, we run ads regularly, especially in Telugu and Marathi, I think, which are big agrarian states, Maharashtra and the Telugu states of Andhra Pradesh and Telangana. We've done strong agrarian campaigns in the regional channels. So to bring, consumer to buy our products. So I think we're doing well. I think it's a very exciting business. And I think right now, I think it looks, I mean, we're not making so much money in that business at this time. I think once we have a lot of high cost inventory that we're selling off. But I think once the raw material prices stabilize and we're able to establish a brand, I think it's going to be as interesting as like a branded generic piece in India. So I think that's my vision and my view of the business.
And how important a role you think exports will start playing in this business as we go forward?
Exports also will be exciting, but exports won't kick in for the next 2-3 years. And I think some markets are opening up in the next 12 months, but I think the major markets will open in the next 2-3 years. Overall, it will be a counterweight. I think our expectation is that. But our core strategy will be driven by the India branded business. Exports may contribute about 30%, but the India brand business is where I think we see a value. We see this business can, you know, scale up to 400 to 500 crores if we include export too. But it'll probably play out in the next 3 to 4 years, subject to, you know, our ability to launch these products and able to be there in the first wave of market formation. I think these are the two most important things in this business, or any business for that matter, right? Just like generics and pharma, you need to be in the first wave, otherwise you don't make money.
Right.
Okay.
And secondly, on your, you know, you've made a, taken a partial stake in the Singapore-based entity. So when you are doing these partial stake sort of buyouts in some of these companies, what is the thought process behind these?
I mean, it's like a strategic, investment. I think like a few minutes ago, I think one of the gentlemen asked me about the CAR-T therapy. CAR-T is something that, you know, it's a skill set I don't have internally, right? So I think, invest so that we can get a see-through on how that business goes and then invest with the promoter and see, to hopefully, bring a successful product in the market. So generally, these are all strategic so that we learn more about that particular business where we are not present. That one, we invested a little while ago. It's actually a very small investment because we had a clause which protected the dilution, anti-dilution clause on the valuation. That's the reason why the stake has gone up. But otherwise, it's actually a 2-3% investment. But actually, it went up to 7 because of the dilution protection. But usually, the value that comes from these assets are typically, if they give you a manufacturing advantage or they give you a technology platform that, you're not present in. Or they give you, a portfolio that you don't have internally, I think. That's how you want to think about these assets.
And last one, in your what's been your overall assessment, if you can, on how the competitive dynamics or the pricing dynamics, or in general, the market dynamics in lenalidomide has really played out over the last 2 years since it's been around?
I mean, I think we've done well, and I think there's been significant erosion, but also we have done well. I think we're happy where we are. And I think we have to see how the future holds. I think that's how we want to look at it.
And if you can probably squeeze in that, is there any other geography where this could be an opportunity? Lenalidomide is an opportunity for us, barring US, where we're doing right now?
I mean, we do well in Canada. So Canada is, and we launched this in Australia too. And I think we're looking at one or two other ROW markets. But I think these are the key markets that we are present at this time.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Janine. So next caller, please.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Somil Shah from Paras Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sir, even after giving such a good performance for last 2 years, but still Street is not giving us the desired valuation to our company. It seems it's mainly because of dependency on one particular product, Revlimid. So, can you please give your thoughts that post Gen 26, once this product is open for all, how shall we look at Revlimid numbers? So, just your thoughts since you are in the business since long.
Okay, you asked me a very difficult question. So, I'm trying to be as diplomatic as I can, I think, my sense of the business, I can answer like this, okay? So every company goes through a cycle where you make money on one product and it falls away. And I think the way you need to judge a company is what pipeline do you have and what's going to be the next big product. See, for example, if you look at our history, right? I mean, we made money on Tamiflu. I mean, it held up earnings for many years, almost 3-4 years it held up. Now it's fallen away. The way the generic business works is there's always that one or two products which always will contribute, a good amount of profit and it'll fall away. Because you're in the first wave, you'll make money and then falls away. Then you have to keep replacing it with a newer product which gives you that same amount of margin. And I will challenge you, that if you look at any of the leading pharma companies today, there'll always be that one or two products which will always give you that extra, earnings compared to the core portfolio. It's true for us, it's true for everyone, and that's how we want to look at it. And to answer your question directly, I mean, you just have to judge us on the pipeline. I mean, honestly, that's all. I mean, all I can do is tell you, like, this is what we are filing, and we believe that these will come. And whenever they come, there will be a reasonable upside. I mean, that's how we have to look at it. And just have to judge the company by saying, you know what else are you going to file? In this year, will you deliver another one or two interesting filings so that you bring about more consistency? But that's the nature of the generic business. I mean, you have to assume that, you know, when you enter something where you're the only generic, you'll make slightly higher profit, but eventually it all falls away. So I think, but that's true of every molecule. There's no difference. Yeah.
And any big launch, I mean, similar to this particular product, I mean, are you expecting in 1 or 2 years, similar to Revlimid?
One or two will be difficult to judge. But I think, you know, our investment position is very clear. I think we have a lot of interesting pipeline. I mean, we have Semaglutide, we have Olaparib.
Yeah, I just want to add on that, Somesh, is very important to look at the investor presentation where we highlight the sole first to file, right? These are the lists where the value that can come back to us is would be much significantly higher.
I mean, we've spoken the mid-size opportunities like Kyprolis, then Tracleer. So I think you just have to build this pipeline, and then you have to do a geographical spread so that you bring in more extension to your product portfolio in multiple markets. And that's how you make money in this business. And hopefully you're there in the first wave so that, you know, you make more money. That's how you have to look at it. Okay?
That's it from my side. Thank you.
Okay.
And sir, once again, congratulations on a very good numbers. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Viraj from MoneyGrow India. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rajiv.
Yeah.
Given the cash flows on your books and the high cash flow generation in your business, despite the targeted acquisition, do you think you could see some corporate actions such as a buyback down the line? Because I think the street, having followed your company and business model for a long time, I think the street is massively undervaluing you, probably as the cheapest mid-cap stock for the metrics that you deliver and your business model.
I mean, as of now, we're looking at it. I mean, I've not made up my mind. I think I'm preserving all the money. Hopefully, we're able to deploy it for an acquisition. I think we're giving a reasonable amount of dividend. We've done a buyback in the past. We've done it, I think, recently only we've done a buyback. So I think, as of now, we're looking at all options. I think we have to see how things go. We'll see how the year goes, Viraj. I think, let's see how 24 goes. And I think we have more cash and we don't have any smart ideas on how to deploy it, then certainly I think we can consider. I think all options are open. But we are considering every option at this time.
Fantastic. The second question is, there was a spike in earnings in the September quarter. Was there an anomaly then? I'm just catching up.
No, I think, the earlier quarters were led by, I think we had reasonable contribution from Revlimid. Yeah, I think that's the reason why.
Okay, and that Revlimid has seen pricing pressure since then?
We have seen lesser contribution from this quarter, and I think we're hoping that it will be higher contribution in the coming quarters.
Understood. All right.
Okay.
Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Next call.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Omkar Kamatekar from Bonanza Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the follow-up. Two clarifications. What is the percentage of R&D that R&D spends that we tend to do on an average basis? What is for this current year, and what are we plotting it for the years ahead?
I mean, it depends on the portfolio, and I think we strive to spend about minimum about 6 to 8%. But sometimes some years it goes to 8 to 10%. Depends on the year. But exact number for this year, I don't have it on hand, so I can't answer that question. But I'll give you clarity. I think in the next quarter.
No issues. And with respect to what is the contribution of Revlimid in the total revenue, is that available? What is the percentage that did not catch it before?
We are not doing that measure. We're not answering.
Okay,
that.
No issues. And I have two questions. Firstly, whatever acquisition that you are targeting, what is the metric and what is the thought process behind this acquisition? What are the key points that you are looking at? And secondly, what are the major risks that you foresee with respect to any market, that be it domestic or international, that could have a material impact on the operations or the outlook of the business? That's the two questions.
I mean, in terms of metric, in terms of return on capital, I have very, very high expectations. I think we usually look for higher teens or 20% is my expectation. I don't like doing 10-12% transactions. I'm not a big fan of those. But because my hurdle has been so high, you know, it's been difficult to do transactions. But I think we shop and we're patient. In risk and all, I mean, the risk is, I mean, you can always have currency risk, obviously. And there's always, in our business, I mean, you know, inspection risk is a big risk, you know. And so I think these are the major factors that play a role. And pricing risk is always there. I think if you want to look at it, I mean, you know, these are probably the 2-3 factors that play a big role.
Understood. With respect to the acquisition, what you said was with return on capital or the overall return on investment that you are speaking about?
Return on capital, I think that's what we target. But again, you can target a lot of things, but you know, what you'll end up with are something else. But I think that's what we would want to target. Yeah.
So the targeted company should have at least 20% or more return on capital employed, and that should translate into our
investment. Our investment should be such that will allow us to make that sort of return. I think that's... And then that's how we like think about it. But I mean, you have to weigh it based on the situation. Yeah.
Understood. Thank you.
My last question now. So whoever the caller is, yeah.
Yes. The next question is from the line of Shyam from Ladder Up Finance Limited. Please go ahead.
Oh, sir, just a couple of follow-up questions. In terms of agrochemicals, what we are producing is similar to what PI Industries and Chambal Fertilizers are offering in the market, or what we are doing is something different from the domestic players?
My model is not same like PI. I can tell you that upfront. Our portfolio is generally a patent challenge portfolio, meaning we try to be the first generic of that particular molecule in India. So a lot of the portfolio that we have launched is in fact usually the first generic or in the first wave of generic.
Right.
And our model is not to work with innovators. We always challenge patents, and very aggressive challenges of patents. So it's slightly a different model. So it's not like theirs.
Okay. So my second question with respect to Revlimid, since we have increased quota in this year, so will we be spreading the quota over the quarters, or will we see the similar allocation of quota that we seen last calendar year?
I think it will be spread out, but I can give you more color to it on May, I think, for the May, when the March numbers are there. So we'll have more clarity on how they're thinking about it. Because we are not selling this product, Teva is selling our product. So I think we'll have some conversations, and I think hopefully we'll get some guidance on where we're going with the product. Okay.
So how this quarter is going on for this product?
I think March is, I think we're launching our quota. So I think we are expecting that we should do well. Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Again, thank you so much, everyone. I appreciate the time that you spent and interacting with us. And I think thank you and good day. Yeah.
Right. Thank you all.
On behalf of
the questions and the details will be uploaded once they are available. Yeah.
Thank you. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Yeah.